We're trying to work out, if you remember, this very cryptic riddle. The Gemara said, this statement, what's mutter in one place is osser in another place. What is that referring to? So our initial attempt was, it is mutter to bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh, but it's prohibited to relieve oneself when wearing tefillin. That's what we tried to suggest. The Gemara is now suggesting something else. Why are we suggesting something else? Because with our first suggestion, it turns out that it is awesome to relieve oneself whilst wearing tefillin, even according to Beis Hillel, who holds that you may enter the Beis HaKiseh whilst wearing tefillin, but to be mashdin would be awesome. If that's true, then we don't understand why did Rava say that the Braisa, which in fact told us this very halacha, that it's also to be mashdin, why does the Gemara say that it's not la halacha? Why is it not la halacha? It would seem to be perfectly in fitting with the halacha. So we're trying to now switch the interpretation. We're trying to work out, decode this riddle. What does it mean? What's mutter over here is prohibited over there. So go to the Gemara again on the fifth wide line, which we began, and we'll try and finish today, Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach. Says the Gemara, what we're talking about, Le'inyan Tefach V'Tfochayim. It's a different discussion. It's the issue of one Tefach or two Tfochim. What does that mean? D'toni Choda. K'shehu Nifne, when a person is being excused, Megale Le'acharov Tefach. He may be Megale from what's behind him, one Tefach, Ulefonov Tfochayim, two Tfochim. So in both directions, he may be Megale, but there's a different amount. Behind him, one Tefach, in front of him, two Tfochim. That's Braisa number one. V'tanya Idur, but we have another Braisa. And it says over there, La'acharov Tefach. Behind him, one tefach, which is the same as in the first braisa, but here comes the difference. Velefano veloiklum. But he should not be megala anything in a forward direction. So we have a stira. In the first braisa, it says that in a forward direction, you may be megala two tefachim. And in the second braisa, it says you should not be megala anything at all. So how do we reconcile those two? Says the Gemara, don't worry. No problem at all. My love, wouldn't it be correct to say that idi, the idi, both this and that is the ish. In both cases, we are talking about a male who would like to relieve himself, the loy kasha, and it would not be any contradiction, kan, Legdoilim v'kan liktanim. If you want to reconcile the braisa, why does one braisa say that lefonov you can be megala shtei tfochim? The answer is for ktanim. Why does the other braisa say that you cannot be megala anything at all? That's talking about legdoilim. Therefore, there's no necessity to be megala that which is lefonov. That would be a perfectly reasonable way of resolving the braisa, except, remember the braisa that says that you are megale two tefachim in front of you also said that you're megale one tefach behind you. So the question would be, what's the purpose? If indeed we're talking about somebody who is involved in ketanim, so I understand that he has to be megale shnei tefachim lefonov, but why does he have to be megale anything behind him? Says the Gemara, the Tispera, question mark. Is this indeed logical? Does that make sense? Surely, Iba Ketanim, if we're really dealing with Ketanim, Le'acharov Tefach Lomoli. Then why would he need to be megala a tefach from behind him? I understand that two tfochaim in front of him is necessary. But if he's only involved in ketanim, why would you need to be megale anything from behind him? So the Gemara says, fine, I'm going to now try a different way of resolving it. Elo, our favorite word, elo, a rethink, an overhaul. Idi ve idi ve gedoilim. Both brises are talking about gedoilim. The difference between the two is not that one is dealing with gedoilim and one is ketanim. Rather, both of them are in fact gedoilim. So if that's the case, then we have the stira, whether it's one tefach or two, whether the fonov is vloiklum, what's going on, says the Gemara, there is no contradiction whatsoever. Vloi kasher. Ha the ish, ha the isha. One is talking about a male, one is talking about a female. That will be the difference between the two. The difference is you can still hear me? Yes, you can.
No, I can hear you.
You can, okay. Says the Gemara, the difference, therefore, between the two is one is an ish and one is an isha. So how would that resolve the braces? Both are talking about somebody who wants to relieve themselves, gedoilim. The difference between the two braces is one is talking about an ish and one is talking about an isha. So as Rashi will explain, if we're dealing with an isha, then obviously she only needs to be megale that which is la'achareho, that which is behind her, but not lefoneho. The other braisa which says that you have to be megale lefoneho is talking about an ish. Now let's pause and stop over here. In a minute, we'll see Rashi. Like I said, this is a complicated piece of Gemara. We have to be clear every stage of the game where we're up to. Remember, we're trying to crack the riddle. What was the riddle? It says, what's muta here is osa there. Now, what does here mean? What does there mean? What's going on? So in the beginning, we adopted a completely different route. We talked about tefillin and the beis hakisei. The Gemara is now trying to suggest a completely different approach. When we say that what's muta here is osa there, it's not talking about tefillin. It's talking about how much one can be megale in the beis hakisei. For one person, it would be permitted. And for a different person, it would be prohibited. And what would be the difference between the two? One is an ish and one is an isha. An isha has no necessity to be megale that which is lefoneho. An ish, a male, would have a necessity. So that would therefore be a brand new way of resolving the braisa. When it says that which is muta here is osa there, what it means is what's muta for a man is forbidden for a woman. Identical pa'ula, for a man it would be muta to be megale lefonov, and for a woman it would be osa. Now, if this is the interpretation of the cryptic puzzle, if this is the way we're going to decode the riddle, then it turns out that the riddle had nothing to do with tefillin in the Beis HaKisei. That was not the subject. Remember, that was approach number one. But we've moved away from that, and we've now adopted approach number two, which is what? That the discussion is not tefillin in the Beis HaKisei, rather the discussion is how much one can be megala. So if we were to be asked the question, tefillin in the Beis HaKisei, is it mutter to be mashed in whilst wearing tefillin in the Beis HaKisei based on this riddle? The answer would be, I have no idea. That was never the discussion. So could it be that according to Beis Hillel, it would be mutter? It might well be that it's mutter. This brisa, the cryptic riddle, has no bearing on that whatsoever at this stage of the game. So everything is fine. Why? Let's sum up the stages now. We have a brisa that says you cannot be mashed in the Beis HaKisei. And what did the Gemara say? That is not la halacha. What does that mean, it's not the halacha? Because what is the halacha? The halacha is that you may be mashed in the Beis HaKisei wearing your tefillin. That is the halacha. So if you tell me that the brisa is not la halacha, that is another way of telling me that la halacha, you may, it is perfectly permitted to be mashed in a Beis HaKisei whilst wearing your tefillin. That is the halacha. The big question therefore became, does the riddle challenge that halacha? And according to the way we're learning now is, no, it does not. Because the riddle is not talking about tefillin in the Beis HaKisei. The riddle is talking about something completely different, a shayla of Hilchus Tznius, how much one can be megaleh. So at this stage of the game, everything is fine and well. According to Beis Hillel, not only may you bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, it would even be mutter to be mashed in whilst wearing the tefillin. And this riddle has nothing to do with that subject at all. It doesn't contradict it whatsoever. Let's have a look at Rashi. Have a look at Rashi, it's about the 10th narrow line. Ki Tanya Hahi. You got the Rashi, Ki Tanya Hahi. When this brisa was said, Lav Le'inyan Tfilin Tanya, comma. That's what we're trying to suggest, that's what we're trying to achieve. We do not want this riddle to be talking about tefillin. So we can suggest that indeed it is not talking about tefillin. So what is it talking about? Elo le'inyan gilui. How much one can be megale, tefach, v'tfochayim. So remember, the first attempt was de le gedoilim, einoi megale, elo tefach. If he's relieving himself for gedolim, so it's enough to be megala a tefach. There's no mayim, which is pouring out of the guf. Or a ketanim, megala tfochayim. That was the Gemara's first attempt. For ketanim, one can be megala tfochayim. V'olokoi. And that is what we are referring to when we said gilui tfochayim. That which we said, the gilui tfochayim, the fact that you can be megale tfochayim, shehitarti lecho kan, that I permitted for you here. What does that mean here? Meaning for ketanim, osarti lecho kan, I forbade, I prohibited elsewhere, meaning for gedolim. That's the way we wanted to try and crack the riddle. La'acharov tefach, v'lo yoisa. But no more than a tefach, why not? Which iser is it? Mishum tznius. U'lafonov tfochayim, why would you need more when it is lafonov ameiraglayim? Mishum kiluach. Kiluach is the pouring or the jet of meiraglayim hanitozin, which would squirt l'merchoik to a distance. So when a person is relieving himself, l'ketanim, one needs more distance. Therefore, you can in a gala the guf more. My love, says the Gemara, v'hainu de ka'omar l'cho, Le'el devarim she'tarati l'cha b'beis ha'kisei arai osarati l'cha b'kavua, says the Gemara in the final conclusion, Elo idi ve'idi begedoilim. Really, they're both talking about gedoilim. They are not talking about gedoilim versus katanim. They are both talking about gedoilim. However, umitoich shehu doichek atzmoi legedoilim, comma, because he is now pushing himself whilst relieving himself with gedoilim, the inevitable consequence is hu bo lidei katanim. He will necessarily end up also relieving himself for katanim, such that when a person is relieving himself for gedoilim, it doesn't suffice to be megale that which is behind him. He has to also be megale that which is in front of him, because inevitably it's going to end up with katanim. So hilkoch, therefore, ba'ish, when you're talking about a male, Melacharov Tefach for the Gedolim, Umelefnim, Umelefonov Tfachaim, and in front of him two Tfachaim, why? For the Ketanim. Ube Isha, if however you're dealing with a woman, Milfoneho Veloi Klom, then absolutely nothing is necessary to be Nizgale in front of her. Vehochika Omar. Remember, we always say, what does Ka'omar mean? Ka'omar means this is what was meant. This is what the cryptic riddle meant. Ha'dla'el, that which we said before, this is the way you can now interpret it. Devarim sha'asarti l'cha, that which I prohibited you, ba'isha, i.e., to be megala anything, lefonov, hitarti l'cha, Be'ish. I would permit Be'ish. Very good. So again, at this stage of the game, are we good? Are we not good? Everything is fine and dandy. We had this very, very vague riddle that says something is asa and it's sometimes muta. And that could be referring to a billion different things. We thought it was referring to tefillin. The Gemara at this stage of the game is trying to suggest it does not refer to tefillin. What does it refer to? It refers to the difference between an ish and an isha with regard to how much one can be megale. But if we asked, with regard to the riddle, do we have any evidence whatsoever about taking tefillin into the Beis HaKisei? And the answer would be a resounding no, because that's not the subject. The subject of the riddle is the ish and the isha, etc., etc., etc. In which case, we can go all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, which is, according to Beis Hillel, who allows you to bring tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, does he also allow you to be mashtin whilst wearing tefillin? And the Gemara said, yes, he does. He allows that. And if there's a brisa that says it's osa, then that brisa clearly is not lahalocha. It's clearly not lahalocha. Because what is the halacha? The halacha follows, as it always does, Beis Hillel. Not only can you bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, it would also be mutter to actually be mashtin. The first braisa that says otherwise is not la halacha. And what about the riddle? The riddle would be no proof whatsoever, because the riddle is not talking about the shaila of tefillin in the Beis HaKisei. Rather, the shaila in the braisa is something completely different. It's a question of bimagale tefach or tfochayim, ish leisha, etc. And therefore, with regard to the original shaila, can you be mashkin whilst wearing tefillin? The answer is yes, you may. And the riddle has nothing to do with that shaila whatsoever. Everything makes sense so far? Everybody's on mute, but I take it that's a yes. Okay. A nod of the head, that's good enough. Says the Gemara, we're not done yet. That was the easy bit. Says the Gemara. If so, if you're telling me that the riddle has now been decoded, not with regard to tefillin and the Beis HaKisei, nothing to do with that, rather with regard to an altogether different subject of an ish and an isha, v'megale, tefach, tochaim, etc., etc., etc. If that's so, then we have another problem. What's the problem? Yochi, ho dektoni olo. We learned with regard to this riddle, ze kal v'choyma she'ein olov tshuva. Rashi explains, and we'll see in a minute. This braisa, this riddle, remember, which is so, so incredibly vague. What was the cryptic riddle? What's muta is sometimes asa. Very, very vague. Actually, that wasn't the end of the riddle. Do you know how the riddle concluded? The riddle concluded by saying that, unfortunately, there is a kol v'chomer which disproves the validity of your whole riddle. And not only is it a kol v'chomer, ein olav tshuva, there is no retort. It's a knockout punch. It's a knockout punch. So this is getting from vague to yet more vague. We finally managed to decode the first half of the riddle. What's muta here is asa there. Apparently it's talking about not tefillin in the Beis HaKisei, about the ish, the isha b'megala tefach u'tfochayim. Fine. But how did that conclude with the response of, I'm sorry, that could be knocked out with a kal v'chomer, which is non-refutable, she'ein oleh al tshuva. Now, what does that mean? So obviously, we can only work out what the knockout kol v'chomer is if we've really worked out what the riddle is. So we had two possibilities, two approaches in understanding the riddle. Either the riddle was talking about tefillin in the Beis HaKisei, or the riddle was talking about megala tefach or tefachayim. So what is this non-refutable kol v'chomer that disproves the entire validity of the riddle? What is that kol v'chomer? So look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, ha dektoni olo, that which the Braisa concluded with the following words, quote, unquote, zehu, kal v'chomer she'ein olav tshuva, quote, unquote. My, what does that mean, quote, unquote, ein olav tshuva. What does that mean, ein olav tshuva? What does that mean? Surely, darka de milsa hochi isa, question mark. What does darka de milsa mean? That's Aramaic, let's translate it into Hebrew. Darka is derech, and the milsa of the matter. The way of the matter, hochi, isa, is so. As Rashi explains, and we'll see this in a moment, if you tell me that the way that the riddle's got to be decoded is with regard to the ish, the isha, the tefach, the tfochayim, then how can you tell me that there's a kal v'chomer she'ein oleh tshuva which knocks out that whole interpretation? What's wrong with that halacha? It is darka de milsa. What does darka de milsa mean? That is the way of the matter, meaning it makes perfect sense that the ish should have different halachas to the isha. And if it makes perfect sense, what on earth do you mean to say, oh, I have an unrefutable kal v'chomer by which I can knock out your din? How on earth can you knock out my din? It makes absolutely perfect sense. That is the norm. Yes, it might seem strange. Why is this one a tefach? This one is a tefachim. But when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. That is the derech. And if that's the case, we might now need to go back to option one. How many options did we have in decoding this riddle? We had two. Option number one was the tefillin in the Beis HaKisei. Option number two was the ish ve'isha. And yet the Braisa concluded by saying there is an irrefutable kal v'chomer that will knock out this riddle. But I'm sorry to tell you, if we're talking about ish ve'isha, I don't see any refutation of that whatsoever. That is the norm. That makes perfect sense. So what does that show us? It shows us that we're going to have to go back now, I'm afraid, to option number one. What was option number one? We said, what's muta here is also there. It is mutter to bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, even if it is a kavua, but it is prohibited to relieve yourself whilst wearing the tefillin. That was option number one. Says the Gemara, El olav tefillin. So it must be that we're talking about tefillin. And if it is talking about tefillin, then I understand that there could be a refutation. What would be the refutation if the subject is not ish ve'isha, but rather the subject is tefillin in the Beis HaKisei? So have a look at Rashi. Ha dektani Allah. That which we said, b'sefer dida, the sefer of it. That very line had a sefer, not just a resha. And what did it say? V'zeh hu kal v'chomer she'ein olav tshuva, quote unquote, which means, b'davar hazeh yesh lecha lahashiveini kal v'chomer. In this matter, you could refute me using a kal v'chomer, v'ein li olav tshuva. And I must be perfectly honest, I would not have an answer. La hachzir lecha, to return, to retort to you. Now, what is he referring to? I omret bishloima betfilin ka'omar. If you're going to tell me that the way we decode the riddle is that we're talking about tefillin, ukada omron, as we said before, ubeis hillel hi, and it's beis hillel, then I would understand the refutation. Hainu diktani. That's what it stated in the end of the braisa, the yesh kan lahakshis, that you could in fact ask the following kal v'chomer. Hashta beis hakisei kavua shori. If the beis hakisei kavua is muta, Beis HaKisei Arai Miboya. Do I need to be told? Isn't it obvious that a Beis HaKisei Arai would certainly be muta if you're allowed to bring your tefillin in even to a Beis HaKisei Kavua? Then certainly, Kol Shekein Poshet, how can you tell me that it's also to be Mashkin, which is only a Beis HaKisei Arai? That doesn't make sense. And that's the refutation. But that's only a good refutation if the subject is indeed tefillin. Says Rashi in conclusion, that's if we're discussing tefillin. Ve'eli tshuva, I would have no tshuva, l'hoshiv cholav. Elo'i omret le'inyan tefach utfochayim. But if you say that the subject that we're talking about is tefach utfochayim, then my kal v'choyma yesh lahakshois kan. Then what is the kal v'choyma that you could ask? You're telling me there is a whopping question that you could ask. I don't see any question you could ask. It makes perfect sense. It so makes sense that I don't see any question you could ask. As Rashi says in the next Rashi, urcha demilsa hochi hu. This is indeed the way of the matter. What does that mean? It's the way of the matter. Sheha ish sorech legalois lefonov. Yes, a man necessitates being megale lefonov, veloi ha'isha, but not the isha. So it makes perfectly sense. And if it makes perfect sense, what on earth did you mean when you said that there is a kal v'chomer to knock this out? So I'm afraid to tell you, says the Gemara, that all things considered, the second option simply does not work. And when all else fails, you've got to now go back to option number one. And what was option number one? We're not talking about an ish v'isha. We're talking about tefillin in the Beis HaKisei. And what does it say? What's mutter here is asa there. What's asa here is mutter there. It's permitted to bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, but you're not allowed to be mashed in. And if that's the case, now let's go all the way back to the beginning. We had a braisa that says you're not allowed to be mashed in whilst wearing tefillin. And what did Rava say? Sorry, that doesn't make sense, lahalacha. According to Beis Hillel, it would definitely be mutter to be mashed in. But I'm afraid to tell you, we've got a riddle that suggests otherwise. We've got a riddle that says that what's permitted in one place is asa elsewhere. It's permitted to bring your tefillin in, but it is asa to be mashed in. So what is the halacha? The halacha is that it's asa to be mashed in, which is exactly what the first braisa says. So why did Rava say that the first braisa is not la halacha? It is la halacha. That is the halacha. The halacha is that yes, you may bring your tefillin in, but you may not be mashed in whilst wearing your tefillin. Why did Rava say that's not the halacha? Says the Gemara, v'tiyuvta de Rava, Amar Rav Sheshes. So that which Rava said in the name of Rav Sheshes, that what? That the first braisa is not la halacha, I'm afraid he's just been disproven. Look quickly at Rashi at the last few narrow lines. Tiyuvta de Roma Omar Rav Sheshes de Omar Bei Shammai Hi. Remember, Rava commented on the braisa and he said this must be the opinion of Bei Shammai. V'loi Bei Hillel de'im loy dim kein. Well, if that's true, loy mishkachas midi, you're not going to find any option whatsoever. Look, mahach braisa. To establish the braisa, the riddle, the ktoni ma'ishe tarati lechokan or sarati lechokan. So Rava is, in the final analysis, disproven. Now, this is a very complicated piece of Gemara. I agree. Let's very, very briefly, in the 2 minutes that we have remaining, try to sum up the various stages. So if anybody feels they haven't quite got the cheshbon, we're going to try and sum it up in as most simple terms as we can in less than 2 minutes, and we begin now. We had a braisa that says it is osur lahashdin mayim. We're talking about going into the Beis HaKisei with tefillin, and the braisa says it is osur lahashdin mayim. Stage number one. Stage number two. What did Rava say? That doesn't make sense. That's only Beis Shammai. It's not la halacha. Because according to Beis Hillel, what would be the halacha? It would be mutter la hashtin mayim. That was stage number two. Stage number three is we had this bizarre riddle, something about being mutter and osa, which we tried to bring into the direction of tefach tfochayim, that all fell through. So what is that riddle talking about? It's talking about exactly our case, tefillin and the Beis HaKisei. What's mutter to do is asa, meaning what's mutter to do, you can bring your tefillin in, but you cannot be mashed in mayim. So you see in the riddle tells you that what? That it is asa to be mashed in mayim. Go back to stage one, that is exactly what the Braisa said. So why in stage two did Rava say that is not lahalocha? It is lahalocha. In the final analysis, even if in according to Beis Hillel you're allowed to bring your tefillin in to the Beis HaKisei, you would not be allowed to be mashed in. This is not Beis Shammai, this is Beis Hillel, and this is the halacha.